at great length and by them, beginning all the way back to the Rishonim, and we're talking about thousands of years ago, is what I want to begin with. And the first thing that we have to look at is number one, on page one. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Hosei Shal Torah, the Saper Panisim, Vinikvahosh, and Asul HaLokim, the Mitzvahim, Belel Chamisha Asar Benisan. It is a positive commandment from the Torah to relate the miracles and the wonders that were done to our fathers in Egypt. And when you're supposed to do it, you're supposed to do it on the 15th night of Nisan. Sheneva, as it says, Zachor HaYom HaZeh, Hashem Yitzchak HaMi Mitzvahim, remember this day that you went out of Egypt. Just as it says, Zohar et Yom Har Shabbat, remember Shabbat. And with Shabbat, you're also supposed to remember all the time, and we do it when we say, Hayom, today is Yom Shlishi Shabbat. We always remember Shabbat, so too we also have to remember all that happened in Egypt. How do we know that there is a special mitzvah on the night of the 15th of Nisan? Talmud Lama, it says in Torah, Yom Hafu Leimor. On that day you shall tell your son, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this. Because of what? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, Bishoshi Yeshmatza Umoro Munachum Fanaka. Because of these mitzvahs, you were rescued from Egypt. So you have to tell the story to your children at the time that matzah and morah are lying there in front of you. Yachot Yishirin or Ben, even if somebody doesn't have a son, Afilu Chachamim Gedolim, Chayot Musaker, Yitzias Mitzrayim, even great wise men have an obligation to relate the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And whoever speaks at length about things that had happened in the past, this is praiseworthy. Alright, so the Ramana said that by saying the Arkada, the night of Pesach, we fulfill a mitzvah. What do we usually do before the fulfillment of a mitzvah? We say a bracha, Asher Kedishonu V'mitzoso V'tzivonu. And whatever the mitzvah is that's going to come afterwards, tzitzis, tefillin, hallel, hadlakat neirot, many, many mitzvahs, not all, but many mitzvahs, are preceded by a bracha. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak, it's having relating the story of the Exodus for Egypt? From Egypt, why don't we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Kei Melech Olam, sanctified us with his commandments, with Sivono, and he's commanded us with Saper, Yitzhak, and Tzayim to relate the story of Egypt. Why is there no bracha? So you're going to have to patiently go with me from answer to answer, because there are many answers that have been given, and each one is fascinating in and of itself, in addition to the fact that it will also in a sense, explain to us many other brachot. The first answer really appears in the Rishonim, the Rif. The Rif was one of the great Rishonim who preceded the Rambam, talking 1,000 years ago. He says that in the Haggadah, what's the first thing that we do? The first thing that we do is we say Kiddush. He says, with the Kiddush, you have already fulfilled the idea of the bracha, because it says in Kiddush, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Baruch Abanu, who has chosen us from all nations, Baruch Amonu, Mikoloshon, V'Kiddushonu B'mitzvotav, and he has sanctified us with his mitzvahs. And then in the course of that bracha, we say, Mikro Kodesh Zechel Yitziach Mitzchayim. A day that is holy, commemorated to remembering that which took place in Egypt. So the Rif says that the Kiddush itself also serves as the bracha on the mitzvah that's going to be fulfilled the night of Pesach. The Rashba, another one of the Rishonim, this was one of the Rishonim about hundreds or more, 200 years later already, the Rajba was in Spain. He has a whole essay in which he establishes the criteria for when you say a bracha and when you don't say a bracha. And he says, first of all, you have to know that a mitzvah that does not require any sort of act, you don't have to do anything. And there are mitzvahs like that. Can you think of any mitzvahs that you don't have to do anything?
Honoring your father and mother. You can honor them without doing a thing.
Well, we're going to talk about it later. We'll talk about that later. Look, everybody stop up with them. You know, because all these parents over here, they want their kids to take good care of them, you understand?
Every person who yelled at me, I'm getting cut from the video. They're out of the action.
Now, the fact is that the only thing is the Rambam, about only one mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs, does he describe it as mitzvah gedolah. 612 mitzvahs, he doesn't say mitzvah gedolah, but by kibud avraham, he says this is mitzvah gedolah. It's mitzvah gedolah, a great mitzvah, not only in terms of reward, but it's an extremely difficult mitzvah to fulfill properly. And we must probably go through a good part of our lives wrapped with guilt if we really treat our parents the way we should have treated them. And we hope, of course, that our children will treat us better. Yes. So the mitzvah gedolah, the Rambam says. But I was thinking of, there's a mitzvah to believe that there's a God. I am God, your God. There is a mitzvah to believe that God gave Torah to the Jewish people. It doesn't require an act. It doesn't even require one to say anything. It's a mitzvah of faith. A mitzvah of faith. You don't get up in the morning and say, Shekhi Torah says, Mitzvahu Lahamin Bahashem. I've seen another example that's given is Shemitas Ksafim. Shemitas Ksafim means at the end of the seventh year, at the end of Shemitah year, any outstanding loans become null and void. You don't have to do anything. All the moment the end of the Shemitah arrives, automatically all loans become null and void. It means, of course, that later on you don't have a right, unless you wrote a proposal, you don't have a right to go and ask for the money. Yes? So negative mitzvahs. So when would you make a bracha on a negative mitzvah? Before you do it?
I like that.
Well, let's say the following. Exactly what I'm saying about a mitzvah that has no act. So all of the negative commandments are certainly something where there is no act involved. You hope you won't do anything.
You're not totally right, because I've been told that when you eat,
you'll erase that from
if you're going to if you're going to eat trace of food, you still make a bracha on it.
What?
Only in the event that somebody is going to eat trace of food because there's nothing else to say.
If you're going to eat trace of food, you don't make a bracha.
They don't make a bracha. That's
not what I'm saying.
So here, wait, let's get back, let's not lose track. So the Rambam says, first of all, there are mitzvahs that you don't make a bracha because there is no act involved. Or, another rule is any mitzvah that I cannot fulfill myself, but it requires somebody else to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. Classic example is tzedakah. Giving tzedakah requires that there be another person. A bracha is only set on a mitzvah in which I am completely in control. Even if there's a mitzvah to lend to a person who needs money, in kesef tamidat ami. We're always concerned where it depends on somebody else, that it may not indeed come to fruition. Here, you know, I've said the bracha with great kavanah, and then the fellow says, you know, I don't want them. I don't want to take the money. I don't want to borrow the money from them. So they left with a bracha without a mitzvah to follow it. The Rashba, with regard to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the one that we're talking about, he says another rule. The other rule is that a mitzvah, in order for you to say a bracha, it has to be a clearly defined mitzvah. Clearly defined meaning there is a certain act that has to be performed or something that has to be said. He calls the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of relating what took place in Egypt. He refers to it as a mitzvah she'en lo kitzvah, that has no amount, because you can even be yotzei with one word, one sentence. It's not clearly defined. The only time our rabbis established the bracha is with something that's clearly defined. A person puts on scissors. One is going to light candles. These are clearly defined mitzvahs. That's when you make a bracha. The Maharal brings this Rashba, and he says he doesn't understand the Rashba. So if you can fulfill the mitzvah with one sentence, so make a bracha and say the one sentence. One sentence is, you know, God took us out of Egypt this night. Thank you, God. That's also clearly defined.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Isn't the morning a sukkah in the Brei Torah an exception to that? Wouldn't that seem to be an exception?
Mark, you are raising very fascinating questions, even though they all left that didn't even without paying. But we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the bracha that we make on the study of Torah. The study of Torah also is not something that you can say is clearly defined. It can be one sentence. It can be a lifetime of the study of Torah. So wait, let's, we're going step by step. One of the Mefarshim wants to explain the Maharal, and he says the following, that here is a fascinating example of saying the bracha. You've already fulfilled the mitzvah. When you say, Asher kidshonu b'mitzvotav v'tzivonu l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, you have already begun to be l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim. A bracha is supposed to precede the mitzvah, but not that the bracha should be the mitzvah. And the moment you say, Asher kidshonu b'mitzvotav v'tzivonu l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, you already have fulfilled the mitzvah. All other mitzvahs, you know. You say the mitzvah shekel shomer tzoyso lahadlik neshel Shabbos, and then you're going to do the act of the mitzvah. But here, the fulfillment of the mitzvah comes in the bracha, in the bracha itself. So there are those who want to say, on the other hand, well, the Rashba said that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim could be even one sentence or one phrase. And that's why you don't make a bracha. There are those who want to say that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you don't say a bracha on it, because it's endless. It's never ending. Which is, of course, going to raise the question of Birkat HaTorah, the bracha that we make every morning for the study of Torah. You say a bracha on a mitzvah where it is possible to define, I have now fulfilled the mitzvah. But a mitzvah that I can never say about it that I fulfilled it completely, because kol ha'marbel stapir b'yitziat Mitzrayim ha'reizan yivar. The more that you say about the exodus of Egypt, the greater is one's reward. Means it's a never-ending mitzvah. So while the Rashba looked at it as a mitzvah without clearly defined parameters, because even with one sentence you can fulfill it, there are no defined parameters on the outer limits. When did you finish? When did you stop? Well, now you finished? What defines the finish line or the completion of this mitzvah? And the Chassam Sofer says, on this pshat, he says, We all know the beginning of the Haggadah. I've all the way to the Pharaoh ben Mitzrayim. We were slaves to pay the Egypt. The evil of Hosea HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and would God not have taken us out of Egypt, we would have remained indebted to Egypt. And therefore, mitzvah aleinu, this is what we say in the Haggadah, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah that we should relate the story of Egypt. So the Chassam Sofer says, when we come to this point, it is as though he sees in his mind's eye that the Baal HaGadah is asking himself, if mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, if it's a mitzvah for us to relate the exodus from Egypt. So why don't we say a bracha before we begin the mitzvah? So his very next sentence is the answer. Because kol ha'marbel l'safeh b'yitziyot Mitzrayim ha'deiz ha'mishugah. The more you say, the greater the mitzvah. It's a never-ending, unceasing mitzvah.
So now I think we have time to deal with, the time has come to deal with Mark's question.
There's another unending mitzvah about which we make a bracha every morning. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvaso v'tzivonu la'asok b'dvei Torah. To be involved with the study of Torah. There's a beautiful, beautiful pshat that's brought by one of the mafarshim. The beautiful parallel. There's a pirush on the sefer ha'mitzvahs of Rav Sakhi Bar. This is gorgeous. There are two kinds of brachot that we say. There are brachot ha-mitzvot, a bracha that we make before the performance of a mitzvah. There's another kind of bracha, the kind of bracha we're saying all the time. You know what that bracha is? Brachot ha-nehenin. There is the bracha that you make before you enjoy anything in this world. Ha-motzi lechem in ha-aretz, borei pri ha-gafen, Borei Pri Hagama, all of those brachas are Birchot HaNenin. So Rabbi Ruchim Perlo says, the bracha that we make in the morning, before the study of Torah, is not a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're not permitted to enjoy anything in this world without making a bracha before. The greatest enjoyment of all is the study of Torah. And before you study Torah, you say a bracha. And the fact is, it's built into the bracha. After we say, Asher kitshon v'soysu v'tzivonu, la'asok b'divrei Torah, it says, v'ha'arev na'ashem olakeinu, God make the words of sweet in our mouths and the mouths of our children and our grandchildren. It's a bracha like borei pri ha'etz. And therefore, it doesn't fall at all into the category of a Birchat HaMitzvot. So therefore, you can't ask a kasha from Torah on Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yes, you wanted to say something? I'm looking at you, huh?
Well, I just want to say that a never-ending mitzvah is Kibbutz. So you know what the bracha is.
All right, well, you know, right? I said, I'm saving Kibbutz out for the end. That's not a bad answer for keep without the aim. It's a never-ending mitzvah. By the way, never-ending, was a Shulchan Aruch also passed in, so it's supposed to be mechabe of the aim, acherei motam, after they pass away as well. Never-ending, unceasing mitzvah. In other words, there is no moment in the day at which you can say, God, now I don't have to fulfill that mitzvah.
Is the mitzvah of the best apparent that you see the shrine? Is that only for the Seder night, or is that a never-ending mitzvah as well?
It's only for the Seder night. In fact, maybe at some other point we'll talk about the fact that there are two mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah of Saper B'Yitziyat Mitzrayim to relate the story. And remember, there's something very unique about the night of Pesach, because on the night of Pesach we're supposed to relate the story, and we are supposed to feel as though we, in fact, experience it. Behold, Dor v'Dor, in every generation, Chayiv Odom v'Dot, that small person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. Now that's true on the night of Pesach. It's not true a whole year.
a whole year, we will see that there is a mitzvah of mazkirin Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You're supposed to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and we in fact do that in Kriyat Shema in the morning and Kriyat Shema in the evening. So there's the mitzvah of Sipur, which is only the night of Pesach. There's the mitzvah of Zechira, of remembering. I don't know why the thought just went flying through my head that I think it was late last night or the wee hours of this morning. Behold, on the door in every generation, a person has to see himself as though he came out of Egypt. In other words, that I was enslaved and God took me out. There's another time in the Haggadah when it says, Behold, door of a door in every generation. That stood us in good stead. Shebechol dor v'dor, in every generation, Amudim aleinu l'chalotenu, they rise up against us to destroy us, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescues us from their hands. I think that the two are absolutely interrelated. In order to fully believe that in every generation they rise up against us and God saves us, do you know how you're going to fully believe that? When you go through the Seder and you experience the Bechol Dor V'Dor in every generation, a person is supposed to see himself as though he was enslaved and he was taken out to freedom. But maybe if we mention that, and there's another answer to that. There's another answer that's given to the question of why we don't say a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or for that matter, one that says that we indeed do say a bracha. We indeed do say a bracha. Do you know where we say the bracha? We say the bracha at the end of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, before the meal. There's a bracha. We begin Hallel, we say the first two chapters of Hallel, and then there's a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, you hold the second cup in your hand, and you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Ka'olanu, who redeemed us, V'galat Avoteinu Mitzrayim, and redeemed our fathers from Egypt. Remember, it says, He redeemed us. How can we say He redeemed us? You know why we can say it? Because we've just now experienced. We have relived the experience of being enslaved. We've reached this night to eat matzah and maror. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. There's more to the prophet. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. God is so the one who redeems Israel. The Chassam Sofer says that that's the prophet on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the one that comes at the end. So I'm sure you all should have jumped up. Mark, you should have started yelling at me. Isn't a bracha always supposed to be said before the fulfillment of a mitzvah? How can you tell me that the bracha appears in the Haggadah after the story is all over? So he said, there's one bracha that's said after the fulfillment of a mitzvah. One. I think it's one.
The Shabbos candle?
Huh? What?
Benching.
Oh, benching. That's a good. We're going to talk about benching right away. Right?
The women lighting Shabbos candles?
No. On the contrary, there it must be
before.
A ger. The final process of becoming a Jew is to go to the mikveh. So the Gemara says, when is he going to make a bracha, he or she, when are they going to make a bracha on the mitzvah of being tovah? Before the tefillah, they're not yet Jewish. They can't say, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav. You are not yet, you have not yet. I'm quoting the Gemara because that Gemara is going to be very significant here. So the Gemara says there's simply no choice. After the ger goes down into the mikveh and he emerges and he's now Jewish, then you can make the bracha. Asher kedishnon v'mitzvos v'tzivonu on the mitzvah tefillah. So the Chassam Sofer says the following. The Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, the Mishnah says that the story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim must include two elements. The two elements are Matchil Bikinut and Mesayei Bishar. Matchil Bikinut means that you have to begin with the unhappy periods of Jewish history, and then you'll conclude the story with the praise of God and the Jewish people that they emerged from Egypt. Oh, it's quite clear what the Mishnah is saying. You cannot begin the story by saying, and they all lived happily ever after. Can't? You have to tell us about the trials and the tribulations and the suffering and the difficulty. And then there's Machloket in the Gemara. At what point does the story of our difficulties begin? When do you start the story? And it's Machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that we begin the story going all the way back from that period in history where our family were idolaters. Avraham Avinu, the Rav says, was raised in a family of idolaters, and he himself was an idolater until finally he achieved the knowledge of the truth. Which means, according to Rav, you begin the story from Yitzchilo Ovdei Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoteinu. At the very beginning, our fathers were idolaters. Shmuel says, no, we're not. The story doesn't have to begin all the way back there. The story is limited to the experience of Egypt. And you know where the story begins? Avodim Hayinu L'Farah V'Mitzrayim. We were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. The fact is, even though the halacha is like Shmuel, that Avodim Hayinu is where the story should begin, but we also pass them like Rav. And in the middle of the story, we do a flashback to Mitchila Ote Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoseinu. Now, if we're supposed to experience all of this, then you know what the experience really means? I have to look at myself as though I was an idolater until finally God brought me to a knowledge of the truth. If I'm supposed to look at myself like I was an idolater, I was a guy. So I can't make the bracha before the mitzvah. The only time I can make the bracha is after I fulfilled the mitzvah. When I said at first we were idolaters, and then God brought us close, and the whole Torah and every generation, I have to experience it like it's happening to me. So therefore, we are each going through a spiritual and a physical process during the course of the night of Pesach, and therefore the bracha has to be said after the fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's a Chassam Sofer. That's not small stuff. The Shiboli Aleket, we're not finished yet. Shiboli Aleket says that since there's a halacha that every Shachris and every Arvis, you're supposed to mention Yitzchak Mitzrayim, and the fact is, both in Davening in the morning and in Maariv, there's a whole chapter. In the morning, it's Ezras Avoseinu. Ezras describes the whole Mitzrayim experience. And at night, Emes, the Nuna, the Yatzin, Paro, we mentioned everything, the whole story. The story really begins in Maariv on the night of Pesach. And at the same time that we are telling the story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, we're also fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Or maybe to put it better, while we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, we are also fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, we say brachot. We say Marav Haravim, Ohei Amo Yisrael, Goal Yisrael, Shomer Amo Yisrael. All these are brachot on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But at the same time, we're also fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And you don't say two brachas on one act of a mitzvah. Since during the course of Kriya Shema, we are also fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and that begins already with Maariv, before we come home to the Seder. So we have already begun the process of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. So I think we'll come to the what I think is the last one. And this is one that you'll see right away why this grabs me. It grabs me. Spasenas. Get it out. Spasenas says the following. There are other mitzvahs that you don't make a bracha on. My father asks me for a cup of tea. Before I start making the cup of tea, is there Allah Hashem 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 Hashem, I'll keep it out. My mother asks me to go to the makolet and make a bracha before I go to the makolet. Even worse, she asks me to take out the garbage. So do I say the bracha before I take the garbage in my hand, or if I have the garbage in my hand? Right? He says, of course you don't make a bracha. Why don't you make a bracha? First of all, this would be the antithesis of kibbutz avei. It's not important that your father, you, my father, my mother. You know I'm getting the fresh looking and cup of tea. Do you know I'm going to schlep to the matolet? Do you know why, despite the fact that I don't want to, I'm schlepping out this garbage? Because Hashem Tishon b'mitzvos v'tzivonu, because God commanded. So what does that mean? And if God wouldn't have commanded, then you would say, fine, go make your own cup of tea. Is that what the Torah is telling us? Aren't there certain mitzvahs that by their very nature, you know you have to fulfill it without any kind of command? We would not know that you have to wear tefillin if God wouldn't have said it. We wouldn't have known about a sukkah, we wouldn't have known about any of those mitzvahs. Those are completely beyond our ken, our ability to imagine. The only reason why we know that it's a mitzvah is because God told us to do it. On that kind of mitzvah, you say, Hashem Yishon Mitzvah, because He sanctified us and He commanded us. Without His command, I wouldn't have known. But to honor father and mother, I should by nature understand that in advance. So that's two things. Number one, it's a mitzvah that I should know myself. I should feel it naturally. And second, by saying the bracha flies in the face of the idea of kibbutz avei. They say the story, there's a great rabbi who lived in Baruch Hat, must have died about 10 years ago, the Blushiva Kata. The Blushiva was in his 90s. I haven't seen him for many years, but I had one connection. I got my mitzvah. We lived in Williamsburg, and I had an uncle who lived in Washington, D.C., was chief chaplain of the Veterans Administration. He had been a chaplain in the Second World War in Europe. You know, that was the second time that America went out to save the world. You understand? Nobody demonstrated against America then. Okay? No. All right. So here, so my uncle came in, was Rabbi Elisha Sendatz, he came in, and Friday night after dinner, the family, he says he wants to go to the Blushiva Rebbe. Blushiva Rebbe was on Taylor Street, we lived on Lee Avenue. Now, anybody who doesn't know these streets or where they are is missing something. But what do you do? Not everybody was able to be born and live in Williamsburg. And there was a big tish Friday night, and when we walked in, and the Rebbe saw my uncle, he stood up to worship. My uncle was the one who saved him from Europe. We found him after the war, and he made arrangements for the Rebbe to be taken out of Europe and gone to the United States. So I wish he started that. So the Rebbe was in his 90s, and he was sick. It was his final illness. And somebody called him and said that he'd like to come visit him. Sir, I said, no, you don't have to bump, you don't have to bump it. He said, but listen, it's a mitzvah of Bibuchol. They say it was a some brisker. It's a mitzvah, once you fill a mitzvah. So the Rebbe said, do me a favor. I'm not an object, I'm a subject. You don't use me to fill a mitzvah. I'm not an Ezra, I'm not an assistant. I believe that what the Rebbe was saying is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is I'm concerned about the one that's ill. Can you imagine somebody coming in to visit somebody on his deathbed? Baruch Ata Hashem, O King of Melech HaOlam, Hashem, can you show them the mitzvah of this informal about Bikur Cholim? And you have this great feeling, oh my, what a terrific feeling. He's sick and I have somebody to visit. Also falls into the category of the kind of mitzvah that one should understand it naturally. It should be part of one's personality. And if you would say a bracha before the fulfillment of the mitzvah, all that you would have done is diminished the mitzvah, not only diminished the mitzvah, you would have turned it from a big mitzvah into not a small aveira. Nobody wants to feel they're no more than an object, and my only importance to you is thank God for you, I'm sick, so you can come visit me. Parents are not objects of mitzvah, they're subjects. So therefore he says, Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Is there anything that should be more natural to a Jew than thanking to the Bnei Yisrael for the great redemption from Egypt? For this you're going to say that no, truth is, Rabbi, I wouldn't bother to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but listen, you're getting made in a mitzvah, and even the Rambam agrees that it's a mitzvah. So therefore, Hashem Yitzchak Mitzvah said, oh no, he commanded us, let's stop every Yitzias Mitzrayim, okay, here goes God, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell my children the story. No. The mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, which represents the most basic level of gratitude, is something that has to come from one's own feelings.
Does the recipient of 10% of our income, which we are commanded to do, I understand,
yes.
Is that an object or a subject? And how do you fit that in with the
company? By the way, we had given an answer on Sadaka before. The Rajba's answer was that any mitzvah that depends on somebody else, and it's not one that I can fill alone, then I don't have to say a bracha. Which of course you could have asked me, doesn't the mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim require a child? Because it says, V'hikadeto pincha, and you should tell your child. And what the halacha is, I fill him ein lo ben. If he doesn't have a child, so he tells it to himself. But yes, I like that, by the way. I don't know if that's what you had in mind, but the idea of a poor man standing at my door and I'm giving him money and I tell him, wait a minute, and I go wash my hands and I put on my garment and I say, I shake the chum, so it's in front of a mitzvah tzedakah. So you know what I'm doing? I'm turning him into an object. I agree with you. It's a very good shot. I take it one step further. It means, therefore, there are mitzvahs in Torah for which we are rewarded. But number one, we don't have to say it in advance. Because these are mitzvahs that we should know, we should understand it. No. This is for anybody in Kutzlara to understand who listened to this tape, so you understand. One of our students just noticed that it started snowing in Yerushalayim. It doesn't happen every day. Okay? Yeah, well, you know, I'm wondering, maybe we should already dismiss class and get home before the streets are just. When I come to this answer of the Spasenas, that there are certain mitzvahs that should be natural. and should not be, in a sense, coerced. So you understand where that brings me to. I'm just going to tell you a little part of a much longer shiur that I said a few years ago. The Svidei Esh, the Shilohs of Tshuva, Svidei Esh, was written by Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who before the war was the head of the Berlin Rabbinah Seminar, and then during the war, I think he escaped to Switzerland, and he was in Montreux, Switzerland for years until he died big, big time gone. So he asked the following question. He asked, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? On Purim we send gifts. Why is there no bracha? So he goes through a great deal of this. He says, maybe he'll say it's like the Rashba says, the mitzvah of tzedakah, it depends on somebody else. So he says, no, Mishloach Manos doesn't depend on anybody else. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says that if the recipient says, no thank you, I have also fulfilled the mitzvah. How do you like that? If somebody comes to my house and shows me once and I say, no thank you, he can take back his apple and his orange. If it's a blueberry pie, I keep it. But, you know, he can take his apple and his orange back, and he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So therefore, it depends on me alone. So if you think Yaakov Weinberg asks, why don't you say a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? So he says, because saying a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos would destroy the whole purpose. The whole purpose is that there should be friendship between Jew and fellow Jew. So can you imagine? I say a bracha. What does it mean that I say a bracha? It could mean. The truth is I wouldn't give you anything. I can't stand the sight of you. But I have a mitzvah to fulfill. I should be telling you yourself. So that's one on the shlach. One is take the banana and slip on the banana peel. Destroys the whole meaning of the mitzvah. And by the way, that's what we're saying now about Kibbutz Avraham, and we're saying that about the mitzvah of Sivui Tzimtzum. So you, of course, understand that in my neshama, I have taken this, of course, 10 steps forward. There is a big machloket whether there is an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael or not. There are two of the Gedolim of the past generation. Rav Moshe Feinstein says there is no obligatory mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael with fulfillment. I find the same thing in Rav Heschel Schechter's second sefer on the road, Mipnimi Harok, on the first page. On the first page, no less. I'm waiting to see him one of these days and tell him that I'm upset with him. He quotes Rabbi Avishai David, also a good friend who lives in Beit Shemesh. He quotes him that the Rav said that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is rak mitzvah kiyumit. It is only a mitzvah that, you know, if you live there, you fulfill it. Understand? Only. That's all it is. That's similar to Rav Moshe. It's not an obligatory mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah that you fulfill if you live in Eretz Yisrael. And I've heard, of course, from friends of mine, you know, when I do have the nerve to say to somebody like, why don't you come to live here? She says, listen, Revelation said, it's only a mitzvah to commit. It's only a mitzvah that, you know, if you want to live here, you fulfill it. You don't have to. So I usually respond by saying, to me, the opinions of both Rav Moshe and Soloveitchik add an unbelievable dimension to the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. I don't have to do it. That leaves me the freedom not to have to do it, but that it should be something that I fulfill by absolute complete choice. I'm not even coerced by the mitzvah. As I once told you the story of a fellow who came to Rav Shlomo Zalman and wanted to discuss with him all of the halachic ramifications. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Isn't there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is it chiyumis? Is it chiyumis? What does the Rambam know? What does the Rambam know? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, you understand, stopped him in the middle of the expression and he says, it doesn't make any difference. All you have to do is open up a chumash and you'll see that Ratzon Hashem, God's will is that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. It makes absolutely no difference. You know what it's like? The Tata wants a cup of tea. The Tata wants a cup of tea. You can make a bracha on bringing your father a cup of tea. You kidding me? The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. So it's not an obligatory mitzvah. Great! That's even better! I can volunteer to do something that is the will of God. See? I'm a sneaky guy. I can get Eretz Yisrael in any place. Any place. But that shiur was a pretty good shiur. There were many more, but this is the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes. So he says, you can't make a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that should be so natural, should be understood. You don't need to be commanded to do that, but you do need to be commanded to put on tzitzis and tefillin and light candles and one of the other things. Yes. Did you want to ask something? Yeah, Betsy, no? Oh, I thought you did. It's okay. You don't have to bring up a question.
I wanted to ask.
Huh? No, sorry. All right. That's part one. Yes?
Is it a klal that where another person is involved, you don't make a beracha? Such as stucca, getting married, divorced, anything with which another person is involved, is that a klal?
Michael, I don't ask what-if questions. In other words, I'm going to answer something, and then you'll say, what about... So why not start right now with asking, what about... Let's go through the steps. Yes, the Rashba says it's a clown, a mitzvah that clowns somebody else, you don't make a bracha. Now, what's your question?
Well, what was in the back of my mind?
Let's bring it to the front.
Okay, when people get married, there is no bracha. When the first mitzvah, Puru, nobody makes a bracha on that.
Yes.
That's in the back of my mind, but I didn't want to say it out.
So, because it involves somebody else, but the fact is that we do make a bracha on the Erisin and the Kedusha.
No, but the person themselves doesn't do it. Somebody else does it.
Ah, the person themselves. That's fine. In other words, we're making a bracha under the chuppah. We make a bracha about the institution of marriage. That's what we're really making a bracha about. If it would be a birchat hamitzvah, then either chosav or kalu would have to. But then again, of course, if you want me to wax very poetic over here, chosin and kala are not two people. Chosin and kala are one. How do you like that? You always think that good. Come on. Admit it, that was good.
Not until after the ceremony,
though,
like the
mitzvah. But you know, the fact is that the birchas eris, and I'm thinking about it now, the birchas eris, and I said, before the chosam says, are they out of Kodesh Kli? In other words, there is a defined act of mitzvah when he puts the ring and he says, are they out of Kodesh Kli with the Batsu, Kedat Moshev in Yisrael? So then, Michael's question would be a good question, right? Since the bracha is that which precedes the act of acquiring or sanctifying, you didn't even have to frown.
Okay, we'll get to
that. As soon as the word acquiring came out of my mouth, I knew you wouldn't like it, so I said sanctify. It is a bracha on the mitzvah of Kiddush. So then you're going to ask, so Michael is going to ask, but wait a minute, it depends on somebody else. So therefore I have no choice but saying that the somebody else is, in this process itself, is becoming one with the performer of the mitzvah. By Shabbos I will have worked out a real good definition. No, it's a fascinating question. Fascinating thing to do. Part two. That was only one part of the shir. That was the question of the bracha. The bracha of why we don't say, or why according to some we do say a bracha on the mitzvah of on the mitzvah of kiddush of sibul yitzias mitzrayim. The second thing we'll deal with, and I'm not sure whether we will be able to finish it completely today, but certainly we can begin. On the second page, number 4, I cover. Meitzer v'Rebbe Eliezer v'Rebbe Yoshua v'Rebbe Loz ben Azaria v'Rebbe Akiva v'Rebbe Tarfon shami musubim v'Vnei Dach. The story is told about these 5 Talmidei Chachamim, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua, Rebbe Loz ben Azaria, Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Tarfon, who sat down the Seder in Vnei Dach. And they related the story of the Exodus from Egypt. That whole night, Hashibot, Talmidei, and Gondolim, until their students came and said to them, Rabotani, our rabbis, Iazman Kriyat Shema Shem Shachris, the time for saying Kriyat Shema in the morning has arrived. There are a lot of questions that are asked on this one little paragraph in the Haggadah. Each one of these rabbis came from a different place. It was Rabbi Akiva's hometown. Rabbi Akiva is the one who lives in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Eliezer lives in Lod. Rabbi Yoshua lives in Pekin in the north. Rabbi Tarfon is Tveria. I hope I get them all right. Rabbi Loz ben Azaria, I'm not sure, but Rabbi Loz ben Azaria, he is a problem in and of itself because Rabbi Loz ben Azaria was the president of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Eliezer says in the Gemara, on Yantif, a person is supposed to stay home. You don't go any place for Yantif. And here's the same Rabbi Eliezer who says you don't go any place for Yantif. And here he is. He's in Bnei Brak. So there are a lot of problems. The problems are, what are all of these people doing by Rabbi Akiva? And Rabbi Akiva, it seems, is the youngest of them. The youngest of them all. So understand, all of these people who should really be home, or people to whom Rabbi Akiva should have gone, all of them are gathered there in the presence of Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. And they're talking about the Exodus from Egypt all night until dawn breaks, and their students come and tell them, Rabotenu, the time for Kriyat Shema in the morning is right, which is, of course, very, very difficult. They didn't know that it was morning. The Talmidim, you understand, the Talmidim have to make sure that the Rebbe's are going to fulfill the mitzvahs, you know, there's some kind of chutzpah involved over here. So I just want to learn with you the Gemara that appears in number 3, the other side. Beginning of the 3rd line, this is a famous Gemara. At least if you learn the Gemara now, you know, it's become a custom that a Yeshiva Baba will get a mitzvah boy makes a siyum masechet, finishes a masechet. So usually they'll do masechet makot, which has 24 blad, or masechet tanit, that has 29 blad. But you quite often it's masechet makot. This is the last piece of Gemara in masechet makot. Shuv kam achat hoyu olun yishlayim. All these rabbis, and I believe Rav Shimon Gamliel here, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was co-president of the Sanhedrin, together with Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria. They were going up to Yerushalayim, Kiddush Yehiyu L'Har Tzofim. They were most probably coming from the north or from the east. When they arrived at Har Tzofim, Karu Bigdeihem, they tore their garments, that is a halacha. When they came to Har HaBayit, they saw a fax coming out of the Holy of Holies. They began to cry. Rabbi Akiva mitzachi, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. So they said to him, why are you laughing? So he said to them, why are you crying? So they must have said to him in great consternation, what kind of a question is, why are we crying? The place about which it says in Torah,
a stranger, one who's not a Kohen is going to come there, is going to die. V'ashav, and now, Shu'olim Hiltupo, there are faxes going through there. V'lom Yivkeh, we shouldn't cry. Amalehem, so he says, Lokach Ani Mitzafei. Precisely because this terrible desecration of the Holy of Holies is taking place, this is precisely the reason why I'm laughing. Diksiv, because it says in Sefer Yeshayahu, for idoli eidim ne'emonim, and I will bring trustworthy witnesses, et Uriah HaKohen ve Zecharya ben Yeverechya, Uriah HaKohen and Zecharya ben Yeverechya. So Rabbi Akiva asked, v'chim ma'inyan Uriah eitzel Zecharya, Uriah b'mikdash rishon, u'Zecharya b'mikdash sheni. These two people lived at completely different periods in history, most probably separated by 200 or 250 years. Uriah HaKohen was a Kohen during the period of the first Bet HaMikdash, and Zechariah was one of the Nevi'im who came up from Babel after the destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash, 200 or 250 years after Uriah. Hello? You know what Yeshayahu was saying? Tala HaKatov Nevoatov Shel Zechariah B'Nevoatov Shel Uriah. God made the prophecy of Zechariah dependent or linked to the prophecy of Uriah. By Uriah it says, Lachim v'klalchem Zion sodet hefaresh, because of you, Zion is going to be plowed under like a field. B'Zecharia, in other words, Uriah spoke of the absolute and total destruction of Yerushalayim. And then along comes Zecharia, who says, the famous prophecy of Zecharia, Og yesh u'zekeinim u'zekeinot b'rechavot Yerushalayim, the old men and old women will yet sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Children, boys and girls are going to be playing in the streets. So he says, Ashalom et kaiman v'ato shel Uriah, hayiti mityarei shalot et kayen v'ato shel Zechariah. Until I saw that the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled precisely, absolute destruction and faxes going through the Beit HaMikdash, the moment I saw that, then I knew, as precisely as the Nebuah of Uriah has been fulfilled, so too will the Nebuah of Zechariah someday feel fulfilled. Archash in Kama, Nevoatosh of Uriah, now that the prophecy of Uriah has been fulfilled, Be'edua, I know for certain, She Nevoatosh of Zechariah mitkayemet, that the prophecy of Zechariah will be fulfilled. The Loshen Hazeh Ondolo, these are the words that the rabbi said to Rabbi Akiva. Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva, you consoled us, Akiva, you consoled us. The one with the absolute faith that everything is going to be all right in the end, that was the great power of Rabbi Akiva. And despite the fact that Rabbi Akiva was the youngest one of all, the one who maintained the spirit of the Jewish people was Rabbi Akiva. And they owed him a great debt. And they repaid that great debt to Rabbi Akiva for his keeping the spirit of Klal Yisrael strong. They came and they spent the Seder night with him. We will continue our discussion of this in Yetzirah next week.